Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear people, thank you for holding on. Those two guys that were on the first hour, they're my brothers, just as Gene is. You know, if you've been listening in, you heard us say, we all five of us bonded. Simon Roach has went with us. And, you know, he's been Simon Roach, if you will, people, keep him in your prayers because he's been seriously ill. I need to try to call him again, but I talked to him about, I think I told Rich about 3 weeks ago, I called Simon, talked to him. And he's not doing well. He said he had that this flying bad AIDS, I call it, the virus, whatever hell it is. And he said the first 4 days really knocked him for a loop. He said it's like back in my day, back in the early 60s, late 60s, with that Hong Kong flu, kind of like that. But he said basically the biggest complaint he had there was weakness. But people, that was so wonderful having Rich Hamblin on and Matt Goodwin, just brothers to the bone. They really are. What we went through, me, Gene, and Rich, and Matt, and Simon, we'll never forget that. I mean, we were bonded forever. We rode, about 1,500 miles round trip to Charlottesville and back. Well, I'm measuring from Memphis. But anyway, we're transitioning to the second hour. As you know, I saw Mr. Buddy last week, and we were talking about how wonderful a guy Gene is. I know he's modest and doesn't like praise, but he's going to get some praise tonight because there ain't nobody like Gene. He pretty much single-handedly takes care of that Forest home up there in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. And Gene's going to come on now, and we're going to talk about our heritage, our Southern heritage. And keep in mind, people, if you're a white man, especially if you're a white Christian, you have a spiritual bond with General Nathan Bedford Forrest because he was fighting for all white people in the world, whether you realize it or not. But anyway, Gene, tell us about what's going on up there with Chapel Hill, League of the South, and in the great general's reinterment.
Well, as you know, back in 2017, the powers that be in Memphis had the Forrest equestrian statue removed from the gravesite there in Forest Park. And General Forrest and his wife were buried there in 1909. And then they put up the pedestal and the equestrian statue over the top of the gravesite. And it's been a bone of contention ever since Memphis turned into Darkest Africa. And they yammer about that and vandalize that statue and the area around there every year. And the SCV camp, that NB Forrest 215 camp in Memphis, has to go out there and clean the statue off and get the graffiti off of that. You know, the city doesn't do anything for that. And so finally, they cooked up a deal to have some bozo from over in Arkansas come over with a crane and take the equestrian statue down. They couldn't get anybody in Tennessee to do it. The Highway Patrol was supposed to be sent there, and the governor has been that we had at the time, and the state attorney general told the Highway Patrol to stand down. And so once again, this is our government breaking the law, not enforcing the law, but breaking the law. And so that statue was removed. And finally, and as was the statue of Jefferson Davis down at the river at Confederate Memorial Park at the river, and one more Confederate park was cleaned out there in Memphis. We did get the Jefferson Davis statue back, and it is now at the Sons of Confederate Veterans International Headquarters at Elm Springs in Columbia, Tennessee. That statue and its base has already been put in place. Now, the bodies of General Forrest and his wife, Marianne Montgomery Forrest, have been removed from Forest Park. They're at an undisclosed location in northern Mississippi. They will be brought back to Middle Tennessee in September and reburied at the SCV headquarters there at Elm Springs. Elm Springs is not a town. Elm Springs is the antebellum home there that is part of the complex for the Sons of Confederate Veterans. They've just opened the brand new state-of-the-art museum. They have the old antebellum home, Elm Springs, there that had served as headquarters for a long time. So they will be reburied there, and then the park or plaza around there will be rebuilt like it was in Memphis. The pedestal will be put over the top of the graves, just like it was in Memphis, And then we do have the equestrian statue in Columbia, and it will be put back on top of the pedestal and the graves, just like it was at Forest Park in Memphis. So once all of this reconstruction work, and I hate to use the word reconstruction, that's a bad term. Sorry about that. So after this has been completed, it will look just like Forest Park did in Memphis, except without the graffiti written on the statue and on the pedestal in the area around there. So that's the plan of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, to get that back there. It will be on private property, so now we don't have to worry with some goofball mayor like they have in Memphis now, and the city council, it looks like something out of Darkest Africa, beating on drums and running around in huts, trying to get rid of that statue again. So that's been taken care of.
You know, Gene, I'll never forget the night that statue, I call it the commandeered. It was a cold winter night, raining,
yeah,
if I remember right.
It's in December.
Oh, my God, it was a horrible night. And that's the way they strike. And I remember they came on the news real quick, like kind of like a news flash. And it was the worst feeling. You couldn't have a worse feeling than that, because, you know, people, I've been in Memphis just about all my life. I'm 74 years old. The worst sunburn I ever had. Time for the worst sunburn I ever had. Skipped school one time to go fishing when I was a junior in high school, and boy, got burned up all day long on the lake with just a pair of cut-off jeans. But the probably worst one of all, where I actually had fever and got sick, diarrhea, vomiting, got sun poisoned, was in the shadow of Forest Park. We used to call it Forest Park when I was a kid. There was a wading pool there, Gene, and all the kids around that area, we'd go downtown. That's when kids could walk all over the city and not have to get molested by a bunch of perverts. And I was like 9 years old, and the statue, even then, I didn't realize the history behind everything, but there was something just mesmerizing about it. You could just almost feel that was Memphis. That was back in the days when Memphis was a southern city. People were proud to be southerners. They were proud to be white, proud to be Christian. And but that just breaks my heart. But when they moved that statue, and my wife's not nearly as hardcore as I am, but she got the same way. She's got this horrible feeling in the pit of her stomach. She got nauseous. The feeling lasted for days. I mean, I could not believe that we were being assaulted like that bad. I could not believe that, like Gene said, this lawless city right here, we have one, I think the county mayor is black. He's black on the outside, black on the inside. We have one reverse Oreo mayor. He's white on the outside, but he's just black as tar on the inside. And I found out Mr. Buddy's the one that sent the letter, Gene. He said he was he made all these promises to people that he was going to maintain the park, maintain the statue. And Gene knows more about that than I do. But come to find out, Mr. Buddy found out he's a life member, like a golden life member of the NAACP, Gene.
Of course they lie. That's why they're a politician. Nobody that's worth a damn is going to be a politician, because you have to lie to get elected. You have to lie to keep your job. You have to lie to these low-life, low-IQ morons that are your constituents. So, of course, they drag out the absolute worst in any population to be a political officer in a city. We got the same thing here in Nashville with that goofball mayor we got. He was the idiot that was telling the rioters and looters back when they were having the riots in downtown Nashville back last year, wear your mask and maintain social distancing. Is that guy not an idiot or what? Oh, but he went to Harvard. He's a Harvard graduate, and he got another degree from Vanderbilt. So there's a double slam against him right there. Shows you how worthless a degree from those two dumps are, as far as common sense.
Now, listen, he graduated a different time than Rich did. So, you know, maybe I shouldn't have told the audience that Rich was a Vanderbilt grad, and maybe that's a strike against him. Maybe I should have said he was he got his GOD, his GED in the Bushy Mountain State Prison in Tennessee. That'd be like I told people, and I hope Keith isn't going to be insulted, but I guess we'll go down that rabbit trail. I was going to tell a lawyer joke for that, but that's okay.
Now,
but, you know,
but the thing was, you know, looking back on it, and that was like you said, it was in December 2017 when they took the forest statue down. In the long run, that's the best thing that could have happened, because they got somebody there in there with a crane, and the guy wasn't very good. He did some damage to the statue, and that's going to have to be repaired. I think the estimate's about something around $20,000 to $25,000 to do that. They didn't hurt the general, but some of the parts of the horse were damaged, so they can get that fixed. But at least it was taken down, put in a warehouse, and we were able to negotiate with those monkeys down there and get it back and not take them to court. And they broke five felony laws when they did that. So, you know, that was the threat, that the mayor and the city council in Memphis could have been facing some hard time for breaking all the laws. And that's the only reason, the leverage we could hold over their rotten heads, their nappy heads, to try to get the statue back, and the Jefferson Davis statue. So it was taken down, stored, and got it back. If it had been standing last spring, when the country blew apart and they were tearing statues down everywhere, I guarantee you it would have been torn down and smashed to pieces by the Antifa mob and the black mobs in Memphis. The police would have stood around and done absolutely nothing for that right there. So I was just like you, Eddie. I was sick when I heard about it and absolutely disgusted that rotten governor has been, and the attorney general did nothing about that, and told the highway patrol to stand down and not even go to Memphis from the West Tennessee headquarters there in Jackson. But in the long run, that's the best thing that could have happened. Because you know darn well, if it had been standing last year when they were rioting in Minneapolis and Portland and, well, everywhere, they would have torn that statue down and smashed it to pieces, and nothing would have happened.
You know what, Gene, we're going to take up right up there when we come back from this break. People, if you will, please stay on to this. This is a very emotional hour because Gene and I are both hardcore Southerners. I was born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to make a comment on that when we come back. People, be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. Got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, dear people, we're going to go right back to Gene, talk about our Confederate history. And keep in mind, people, we have a lot of Yankees that listen to this show, that support our show. They love us. We love them. And, you know, and I've told people, Southern is a state of the heart, a state of mind. And in some ways, it's like being a Christian. It's a spiritual thing, you know. If you were with us, that war, the war of the North, the federal government we have right now, they're doing right now, they're invading country after country after country That's what they did in the South. The first nation probably that the Juneau was more about than I do, that the Yankee government, the central government invaded, was the sovereign nation of the South, because the South had already succeeded and said, thanks, but no thanks. We don't want to be a part of you anymore. But, you know, so you are connected to this. You owe your allegiance to the Southern people who fought too, because you're white, you're Christian, and everybody. I've heard Yankees say, oh, y'all lost, we won. No, if you're a white person, especially if you're a white Christian, you lost. Everybody lost that war. But, you know, I was just going to tell people, I played also, I told them about playing under the statues of the shadow of the great general. Also played in Confederate Park, in Jefferson Davis Park. It was a beautiful park. The people in Memphis, it was, you would not believe the difference we had in Memphis since those days. But Gene, I'm sure you'll know, tell the people about the struggle, the sacrifices the people in the South went through. Keep in mind, it wasn't that really that long after the war, after the Lincoln's War, when people were still broke in the South. The South was still, deindustrialized, but they saved nickels and dimes. Tell a little bit about the sacrifice, the people, how much they loved the general, collecting all that money it took, and it took a lot of money to get that statue made. And tell them a little bit how it was built and where it came from, Gene, if you don't mind.
Well, the people of the South, after the war, of course, Reconstruction lasted 12 years. The war lasted 4 years, but 12 years after that was Reconstruction, where the South was occupied by the Federal Army. And what had not been destroyed during the war, they stole during Reconstruction. And so much of the land was taken away. That's why so many Southerners packed up and moved west. There was a group of Southerners that left the United States and went down to Brazil. Brazil gave them land because they wanted to get cotton farming started in Brazil. And so they were known as Los Confederados down there. And they have a Confederate celebration every year in Brazil on Confederate Memorial Day, and they dress up in the gray Confederate uniforms, and the ladies wear the hoop skirts and the 1800 clothing and everything, and have a great outdoor event. And then they all get together and sing Dixie, except wow, when they sing Dixie, it's in Portuguese. So it's a great, great bunch down there. But the reason was the South was so destroyed that farming implements had been destroyed, the barns, homes burned. The Yankee Army came through. They would dump salt out in the fields so you couldn't plant anything there. They would take manure out of the stables and dump it down the wells, so it would poison you with cholera. It was just a brutal, brutal occupation. And they talk about how terrible the Nazis were, or the Red Army coming through Eastern Europe. Well, they got their cue from the U.S. Army and what they did to the South. They didn't kill off everybody in the South, so then they moved out west and tried to kill off all the Plains Indians out there and exterminate them as well. So it was the South, really, it took about 100 years to recover, till it got back on an economic footing in the South. It took, like I said, it took about 100 years after the war for the South to really come back on that. That was why it made it so hard for people to put up any statues or monuments. They wanted to put up something on the town squares all over the South of these small towns, and in the larger cities too, to memorialize the soldiers. And we didn't have an Arlington Cemetery or anything like that. Had smaller cemeteries for the Confederate soldiers that had perished during the war. There were so many of them that were buried in unmarked graves, unknown, scattered all the way from Pennsylvania out to Arizona. And a lot of the bodies of the boys would never be brought back home. Their families never knew what happened to them. So that was the reason why they put up all of these monuments on the town square that usually has an obelisk and a statue of a soldier, just a private soldier standing on top of it. Those are memorials to the boys from that town, like Shelbyville or Franklin or Huntington or Paris or any of these small towns all over Tennessee, and you could go through 13 or 14 states that have this, to all those boys that never came home. And so for these idiots on television or in Congress or the talking heads that we have that are saying, it was all about slavery, they're absolute fools to come up with something like that. Those monuments to those boys that laid their life on the line for our country and never came back. And then the same thing for the more widely known heroes like Robert E. Lee and Thomas Jackson and Forrest and Raphael Sims down in Mobile, which had taken that statue down, and President Davis and Patrick Claiborne and all the generals and the higher-ups in the political strata, that they put up statues to honor them because they were the ones that were leading the defense of our country. And the whole thing is, I've heard so many people say, oh, they tried to destroy the United States. It was such a wonderful country, and they tried to destroy it. We didn't try to destroy anything. We just wanted to get out. You know, that was it. And the you have to remember this. The Confederate States of America was one of the most peaceful countries ever created. We did not storm the Bastille. We didn't murder the Tsar and his family, and heck, we didn't even dump tea in the harbor. 13 states voted to leave the Union, and they left without firing a shot. And then Lincoln was the one that sent a fleet to Charleston Harbor to try to provoke a war, and Lincoln even admitted that he needed a war, and he needed the South to fire the first shot. And when the diplomats were negotiating in Washington with the Secretary of State, Seward, Lincoln was telling him to lie and stall and keep him there. They were preparing a fleet in New York to sail from New York down to Charleston and create an incident where Lincoln then would have an excuse to invade the South, and which he did. And the fleet got there. His excuse was that the Confederate forces around the harbor in Charleston were starving the poor Union soldiers that had been moved out to Fort Sumter. And Fort Sumter wasn't even completed when the federal soldiers came out there. The only people that were in Fort Sumter was a construction crew and a lighthouse keeper. They chased them out, threw them out, took over Fort Sumter. But by doing that, it blocked the entrance to the harbor in Charleston. But what Lincoln said about they were being starved out was a lie, because every day they were sending a boat up the harbor to the markets in Charleston and buying food and coming back out to Fort Sumter. They did that on April the 11th, which was the day before the actual bombardment of the fort took place. So everything Lincoln said about that was a lie. And he was known for stretching the truth and just not even coming close to telling the truth. One of his law partners gave him the nickname Honest Abe, and it was a sarcastic nickname, kind of like calling a guy that's 6'5", weighs 300 pounds, and muscular, calling him tiny. So yeah, Abraham Lincoln Honest is a sarcastic nickname. So it was provoked. The South was provoked into firing the first shot, and Lincoln got his war, and he immediately called for 75,000 volunteers from all the other states to invade the South and force them back into the Union. So what happened to this, thing in the Declaration about governments are set up to rule by the consent of the government?
Correct.
Didn't happen here. So,
you know, Gene, I got this paper in my hands called I've read this. I know the people heard me say it. The Unanimous Declaration of the 13 United States of America. This is the preamble of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And it says, well, I'll just skip down here and read one or two lines. And it says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, into institute new governments, laying the foundations of such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to themselves seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So, see, in the Declaration of Independence, right off the bat, very first page, Declaration of Independence, we're given the right, when any type of government becomes destructive of the ends of the rights to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness and property, and all the other countless other rights, but they mentioned those. So that's what we did. And Gene, if I'm not mistaken, the South, really technically and legally, we were a complete separate independent nation because we separated like we had the right to do and the right of God Almighty to. So then they invaded us just like they're continued to invade other nations all over the world.
Yeah.
Well, Gene, I guess we'll go to this break. We'll come back. I think Lee's going to come on and break some drug news. Oh, excuse me, vaccine news. And I got some stuff I want to talk about, what happened in Australia to make you sick, and talk about what happened in Afghanistan to make you sick. So people, we'll be right back.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. Fox News Pentagon correspondent Jennifer Griffin quipped Friday that President Biden's speech in the Kabul airlift was so full of misrepresentations that she couldn't fact-check it fast enough.
We don't have partners. We don't have eyes and ears. The whole reason that U.S. military cannot leave the airport to go and rescue any Americans who are out in Kabul when British and French special forces can do so is that they don't have any partners left.
U.S. inflation showed some cooling off in July after posting large gains in prior months. Consumer prices rose at their slowest monthly pace since February, providing some relief to those in the transitory camp who hold that this bout of inflation isn't a long-term phenomenon. But inflation fears still linger. The year-on-year increase in consumer prices remains stubbornly high at 5.4%. This is USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow, made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. Its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better, or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. You'll get 2-for-1 pricing plus free shipping, but only by using my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets Special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has issued a state of emergency for parts of the state, imploring those in New York to take warnings seriously ahead of Hurricane Henri. He told people to stock up and move to higher ground today, despite the lack of buildup because of the storm's shifting track. Service on some branches of the Long Island Railroad, a major commuter rail system, will be suspended at midnight in eastern Long Island. On May 1st of this year, the CDC mostly stopped tracking COVID-19 in vaccinated people, also known as breakthrough cases, unless the illness was severe enough to cause hospitalization or death. Here's Dr. Brian Tyson, owner of All Valley Urgent Care in El Centro, California.
If you look at what's going on in Israel, if you look at what's going on in the UK, if you look at even how the CDC had to re-report numbers in Florida and Texas, and even our public health department here, we're seeing a 20 to 40% breakthrough.
Sound courtesy of One America News. This is USA Radio News.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. I almost forget to mention that, I'll wait till the last segment. We'll talk about the Zinc Fest. We'll tell y'all about the Zinc Fest and the surprise guest that's going to be going up there with me. Me and James were talking about that earlier before the show tonight, and we have a surprise guest that's probably going to be going. We think we got him talked into it. But anyway, we got a new guy coming in. He's not new. All you people know about Lee Cochran. We've told you about the pray for him because he's got more health problems than a whole hospital can take care of. But anyway, Lee's going to come in and tell us some stuff about the vaccine tracing camps and stuff that are going in. Well, you won't believe what's going on in Australia. So go ahead, Lee. Tell us what you got, fella.
Yeah, well, you know, Australia, without their parents' permission, they gathered 20,000 children, I think they're under 12, and they gave them that terrible blood clotting, a spike protein shot, and three of them died, two boys and a girl. That's our latest report, and I guess some could die later on, because that stuff gives you blood clots, and it attacks your brain, it attacks your heart. Really, we're fully, instead of fully informed, we're fully uninformed, because everybody is not, you know, the media is lying for the big pharma, And, you know, I can't believe those Australian guards, just their law enforcement went along with them. It's just terrible. And you can get some more information at StuPetersTV.com. And Dr. Jane Ruby, we've got to take these people to court to stop them. And I've got another link, MakeAmericansFree.com, MakeAmericansFree.com, and they're paying for lawyers. They're not going to go haphazard at it. They're picking their battles so we can take this to court if we still, they think we still have a court system. Maybe we do in some ways, but I hope they're right. But, you know, I have my doubts, Eddie.
Well, you know, Lee, tell us where they took those students. Tell us where they took the children. They didn't just go.
Yeah, I think it was some kind of stadium, you know, like the Mid-South Coliseum or something like this, you know, a comparable venue of that. And they told the parents, oh, we'll treat them all right. That is just Nazi Germany all over again.
Well, they wouldn't allow, if I remember what you told me, Lee, the people, the cops, and the so-called the Luciferians running Australia, they would not allow the parents to accompany their children inside the sports stadium.
Yeah.
And they were vaxxed against their will. I'm going to make some comments about that after you get through with your segment, Lee. But continually, you know, another person they can go see, probably one of the most expert people I know, who is a virologist and is really, really knowledgeable about this whole deal. One of the few people I trust is a Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. I'm sure most of our listeners know about her. But continually.
Yeah, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. You can get a brief introduction, DrTenpenny.com, and then you, and the Alex Jones Show, InfoWars, and they give you a good breakdown. But Stu Peters TC has been getting it, hitting it out of the park, and they have a Dr. Jane Ruby, and they show you, they got even samples of people who took blood tests, and it's screwing up their blood. Their blood looks like it's starting to have cancer. And it starts to have these really small blood clots. Two-thirds of the people have it. It's just everybody believes in false authority. And the FDA is going to make it legal to take that shot. But they're corrupt themselves, so that doesn't mean anything. The FDA will okay the shot. And then really the pressure is going to be on. But they're totally corrupt. They have, you know, people on Big Pharma on their board and everything. You know, it's just evil nightmare. And I encourage everybody to take HCQ from America's Frontline Doctors. I'm taking that. I'm not vaccinated, and I'm not going to. And I'm going to do it peacefully, but HCQ is better, and ivermectin is better. We have to get away from these vaccines. I mean, this COVID vaccine is totally useless, and it hurts people. Fauci lied to us. He suppressed the real medication that would have cut the death rate 80 or 90%. This is just a vaccine holocaust.
You know, Lee, ivermectin that you mentioned, that's one of the substances that Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is pushing.
Yes, we need to order that. We don't need to get any of these vaccines. We need to just say no and get the ivermectin.
That's true.
And HCQ. You can get an interview with the doctor for $100, and then the medicine costs about $100, and it'll cost about 6 months supply. So that's what I've been on for the last 3 or 4 months, and I'm not taking that shot. Because I know it gives you blood cancer, it gives you, you know, it spike proteins, gives you blood cancer, blood clots, it attacks your organs. It's just evil.
Well, Lee,
and
I tell you what.
Everybody believes, false authority, yeah.
I really appreciate what you brought to the table tonight. I really appreciate that. You always have a lot of good information. And thank you so much for bringing that in. We got a lot of stuff we wanted to cover with Gene, since he's a combat Marine, former combat Marine. He doesn't claim anymore, but Gene was there up close and personal with the enemy. So God bless you, Lee. Thank you for that report, guy. And we can go eat next week. I know you got 3 doctor's appointments, but maybe we can get together before I have to go to the country. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, listen, y'all, before I forgot to make an announcement, I will be going to Harrison, Arkansas. That'll be the weekend. That'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And we're going up there with the Knights Council, the Ku Klux Klan. You know, the Robs, they're up there. Mr. Buddy's going to be there, Pastor Tom Robb. And listen, a great friend of mine, Keith Alexander, I'm almost sure he's going to go, because I promised the guys up there that I can talk him into it. I kind of hate going by myself. You don't need to go anywhere by yourself. But Keith, I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and tell the people that Keith is going to be going with us. And I told them, they said, even if Keith wants, at the end of, you know, the ending of the ceremony, we always have a cross lighting. Keith Alexander is going to be invited for the cross lighting this year. And I'm going to talk him into it. I can talk Keith anything. But anyway, we'll be going up there. That's where I'll be that weekend of the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Then we have the League of the South Conference, the 10th and the 11th, and I'll be going there. And if we have anybody that hadn't donated any money, you can send it in to the poor guy. I got to rent a car. I hate to beg, but if you got any money, you can send it in. It's going to be a cost. Maybe I can get – since old Keith will be going, maybe I can get him to shuck out some money, but he's not the world's biggest spender, that's for sure. But anyway, I hope Keith's listening tonight. But anyway, people, we'll go right back to Gene, and I'm going to ask Gene, what in the hell is wrong with those people down there in Australia?
Well, that's pitiful. They had some really tough soldiers in Vietnam, the Aussies, that fought side by side with us there. Two toughest groups that were there, I thought, were the South Korean Marines, the ROKs, Republic of Korea Marines, and the Aussies. And if they were on either flank, you didn't worry about it. They had you covered. So I do not know what it, well, one thing, the Chinese have bought out Australia. I've got a friend of mine, Perry Jewell, that lives over there in Australia, and he talks about it all the time, about how the Chinese have just been coming up and coming in, and they've bought up most of Australia. Most of Australia is owned by the Chinese communists. And so they pull in the strings in the government, and who knows, you know, what has happened to the toughness of the Australians. They had that idiot on TV the other night that was telling them that even if they were at an outdoor restaurant or venue, they could not go to an outdoor restaurant without wearing a mask and drinking through a mask. Now, that was not supposed to be a joke. This guy is premier of one of the states there, Queensland or whatever it was in Australia, and he was serious as could be, telling people they had to drink through a mask. And you just wonder, has this, oh gosh, this insanity, when will it ever stop?
I tell you what, I'm going to wait in on that when we come back for the break too, Gene, because we are lockstep on that issue. People, God bless you. We're down to the last segment. This show always just goes so fast. But anyway, me and Gene Andrews and me, we're both like equal. You know, we're brothers. We're going to take you out to the last segment in just a minute. Be right back.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, I appreciate you hanging on so much, and we're going to go right back to Gene. When you know, I got an affirmative. Jaggs Edwards said yes. We're almost certain that Keith is going to go. We're going to let him. He's going to be the honorary guy. We're going to let him light the cross because, you know, at the end of each Klan meeting, we always have a cross lighting. So, Keith, my brother, I hope Keith is listening tonight because, you know, we got him over a barrel. He can't get out of it. We got his signature in blood. He's going to go with the Bombardier up there to the old Klan meeting. But they always have biscuits and gravy and blueberry pancakes, buddy. But anyway, let's go back to you, Gene, where you were talking about. You were covering some great points when we went to the break.
Yeah, and before we get too far away from these vaccines and everything, I would like to throw this idea out to our listening audience to see if there are any veterans there that were in Vietnam or Southeast Asia. When we were over there, we had to take a malaria pill once a week, and that's the only way we knew it was Sunday, because that's when you had to take a malaria pill. But excuse me. And that is chloroquine. And that was something that President Trump came up with before they came up with the vaccine, as just a suggestion that this, when it, all this corona bear virus was first starting to hit the news, that it was something that might actually work. And of course, the news media just jumped all over him and tore him to pieces because they said, you know, if he had a surefire cure, they wouldn't say it was any good because Trump came up with it. But that's something I've heard some people say that we had may have taken, the people that were over there in Vietnam or Southeast Asia and taken those malaria pills, that we may have an immunity from the chloroquine, which is what the malaria pills actually were. And one reason it's been discarded or thrown away or made fun of in the prostitutes in the fake news media, it's real cheap. Where this vaccine costs a lot of money, and of course the government's paying for it, but the big pharma, they're making money hand over fist with this vaccine, and they're not going to make that much if people are taking this chloroquine and using that. So anyway, it'd be interesting to see if there are any other veterans out there that have taken that when they were in the tropics, and if they've had any problems with the COVID virus. So who knows? It may be another avenue to look at as far as getting an immunity to it. So,
you know, Gene, you're talking about the pharmaceutical companies. I was talking to Mr. Buddy the other day, and he that guy's got it. He's got a mind like a steel trap. He broke down the actual billions. I mean, it's incredible. The money is just beyond any ability of people like me and Gene to comprehend. I mean, these pharmaceutical companies have made billions off this so-called vaccine. And quickly, here's how it works. This, you know, people say, oh, you're a conspiracy buff. You're damn right. You know, this guy Fauci and all of his cronies, they went in and Mr. Buddy was telling me something like this, and they created this bug, this virus in a lab, And my, there's an interesting tidbit here. If you've ever watched a movie called Silence of the Lambs, I think it was Anthony Hopkins, very of a spooky movie, buddy, about this serial killer who was a genius. They mentioned, what's her name? She was the big star in there, the woman star. Her name will come to me in a minute. But she was...
Jodie Foster, wasn't it?
Jodie Foster. She mentioned an island, Plum Island. Well, a guy, that he's deceased now, bless his heart, Dr. Stanley Monteith, Stanford University Medical School graduate at 19 years old. He said that that's where the AIDS virus, he told me before he died, the AIDS virus, a lot of the work putting it, that virus together was took place at Plum Island. And Jodie Foster, when she was working with Anthony Hopkins, you know, he was Hannibal, what was it, Hannibal Lecter was his name?
He
had a high IQ of, you know, 200. And she was trying to make a deal with him if he would help them, if he would help the officials find this serial killer. They were going to let him have a week, and he could swim off the coast of this Plum Island. I thought, well, who the hell would want to swim there? But anyway, I thought that was an interesting tidbit. But Mr. Buddy said they have made countless bit the people who created the virus. They released the virus on us. Then they have the vaccine already, you know, made on hand, you know, years in advance. I mean, the whole damn thing is a set up deal. But you know, Gene, I tell you what, I'm going to go back to these people in Australia. You're absolutely right. I know my dad was in the Pacific World War II, and he talked about how tough they were. You know, my dad was in New Guinea for a while. New Guinea was, you're talking about a hell hole. And the Aussies were some of the best. You're absolutely right. We always had respect to them for them, but I have lost all any respect I had for them. It's gone. I cannot believe. I just absolutely cannot compete. I can't understand. I can't calculate how these people can turn their children. I don't care what the threat is. I'll tell you what, Alexander Solzhenitsyn told about it. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to go out on the limb. I don't have any children now. Mine are grown. I have a grandson. He's about grown. But if they were come after me and my family, I don't care if I didn't have any guns. They still make Coke bottles that you can break, and you can take a Coke bottle. I'm going to tell you what, you can take somebody's head off. I mean, that is life or death. Anybody that would allow their children to go and be taken inside a sports stadium and you do nothing about it, in my opinion, I think you don't deserve to live. You can't claim the right of being a human being. You're a worthless piece of scum. And so with that, and Gene, would you like to comment on, you know, there's all kind of conspiracy theories about.
I can't argue with that. You know, I just imagine after I heard that a couple of days ago when it was only two children that had died from that. Now it's up to three and probably be more before too much longer. But if somebody had done that to my son or daughter and they had passed away from that, I would hunt the people down. And like you said, even if you didn't have guns, they make hatchets, they make, you know, a lead pipe, anything like that. That's just unconscionable to have people do that to your children. Whoever did that, that really doesn't deserve to live. They need to be taken out. So
that's true. You know what? And you're talking about death. I mean, there's no hell you can face. There's no, they say, oh, hell hath no fury like a swarm and scorn. I'll tell you what. Hell, if you want to see hell unleashed on you, you screw around with a grandfather or a father. A grandfather like myself, I'm a father and grandfather. You start screwing around my kinfolks with my blood, and by God, I tell you what, I don't give a damn. I'm taking it all the way. One of us are going to grave the graveyard, and if to voice what Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, if you get together and Alexander said this, if instead of sitting around with their finger up their butt, when they arrested a quarter of I'll call it St. Petersburg, whatever it was, Russia that they captured. God, my damn phone, hang on. Some telemarketers, excuse me, y'all. You know, they should have had hatchets, knives, butcher knives, coke bottle, anything, and attacked the communist blue caps. They'd have shut that terrorism down. That's what the people in Australia should have done. And I'm hope and pray that we Americans have more guts than that. Because it's coming to us. There's no doubt about it. It's coming. People, you're going to have to decide, are you going to take a stand? Are you going to ship your kids off to some vaccination camp? Or are you going to be a man, stand up and fight like God wants you to? Gene, if we have time, would you like to kind of dissect a little bit what went on in Afghanistan? Do you think it was, I'm thinking, you know, if we were there that long, That meant 20 years, longest war in history of the United States after Vietnam. You know, I think the whole thing, just my own opinion, was designed to go down because, after all, you know, the Jewish, these wonderful Jewish, are wonderful, best allies we've ever had in our life. They love Al-Qaeda. They said that Al-Qaeda and Antifa has never, Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra, they went on record saying they get along with them fine. Well, they take those Al-Qaeda soldiers and take them to Israeli hospitals and patch them up so they can get back in the fight in Syria and places like that. What do you think about that, Gene? Give us your take on
that. Well, yeah, because they want to collapse this government. And, you know, the New World Order or the globalists or whatever you want to call them, they don't want any borders. And they Sleepy Joe has allowed this flood to come across our southern borders. He's made a disaster out of Afghanistan. They're printing money like it's monopoly money or play money, which is driving up inflation. And he's just a disaster. But on the other hand, I've got to take up for Sleepy Joe. He may be able to do us a favor. He may collapse the Yankee Empire and we get our country back that we had in 1861. So wouldn't it be the height of irony if Sleepy Joe is able to do what Robert E. Lee and Bedford Forrest and Thomas Jackson and President Davis couldn't do, and Senile Joe inadvertently winds up giving the South its independence? Wouldn't that be something?
That would be great. I tell you what, I would dance for him. I would send him a case of champagne if I had to gather up money. You missed something else.
What would be the irony of that? That this blithering idiot that stole an election and Kamala Harris and all the rest of them up there and the disaster that they're putting this country through, it makes the country fall apart and the South breaks away and we get our country back after 160-something years. How cool would that be?
That would be cool, and I bet those 40,000 Americans that are stranded over in Afghanistan, you know, Sleepy Joe and the vaunted United States Army with that traitor General Milley, have left 40,000 citizens over there to fend for themselves, but yet they're airlifting, as we don't have enough non-white, Christian-hating white people, Christian people hate Christians and hate whites, coming across our border by the thousands and thousands and thousands. They're actually airlifting these people, these Afghans, into the country, even as we speak. And these so-called conservative Republicans are fighting over who's going to get them. And Gene, yeah, they said that the people coming, are these young, military-aged men. But they're going to love us when they get over here. Surely, Lord, they're not going to take all these Afghans over here and train them to turn loose on us because surely they would. Their conscience would keep these Afghans from shooting innocent white Americans because, you know, they have such an allegiance to our country. What do you think about that, Gene?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's something I've seen, that when we were at their Marine base at Quantico for that 50th reunion of officer basic school, I'd say 75% to 80% of the enlisted Marines there on the base were Hispanic. And that was a shock because I can see what the government is doing. They're bringing in all these illegals across the Texas border or Arizona, or bringing them in from Mexico. They're giving them instant citizenship when they serve in the United States military, and they've got a ready-made force right there that would have no qualms about turning on Native Americans, Native white Americans, and just mowing us down because the government's giving them three square meals a day and a cot. And they don't know anything about the Constitution. They could care less. The Constitution, constipation, you know, it's all the same to them. And if they're ordered to start shooting these radical, evil conservatives or people that voted for Trump, they wouldn't have any problem at all with doing that. And so I could see the government bringing in even more illegals or in here to boost up their armed forces.
Because the government we have, the criminal Luciferian cabal in Washington, D.C., they hate us. They hate us. These foreigners, these colors come in. They hate white people, hate white Christians, and they want to eliminate us. They told us they want to kill us, and that's what they're going to do. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, Gene. And thank you, Rich. Rich, you can come on. I got your text. You can come on anytime you want to, brother. You know that. You're my brother. Hell, you don't have to ask. Same with you, Matt. Thank you, Jay, for making such a great show, running the board. Thank you, dear Blood River Radio family. God bless y'all. You make this this job, it's tough, but it's a labor of love. Good night, everybody. Same time next week. Next week, we're going to have Dr. Michael Hill, and we're going to have Jason Kessler. He organized the Unite the Right conference in Charlottesville in 2017. Good night, everybody.